It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Okay, question. Are you familiar with Pogs?
Yeah.
All right. Did you play with Pogs?
Oh, they were after my time, but I...
They were kind of right in my time, but I didn't know anything about them.
Oh.
Which is weird. And it's extra weird as I finish out this story. Do you know the history of Pogs?
Well, of Pogs specifically, no. But, I mean, they're supposed to be like milk bottle caps.
Yes.
Which my dad actually collected when he was a kid.
Yes.
Hopalong Cassidy ones. So I know the... So he used to talk about the ones he used to collect. And so then when Pogs came along, I knew what kind of history they were trying to...
Did they also play a game with the milk bottle ones?
Well, I asked him about that at the time. And he said no because... And he didn't know of anybody who did, but they might have. But he didn't because he collected them to keep them, like, nice.
Yeah.
He didn't want them to get messed up.
Well, so. A lot of it... I mean, like, the age of the collectible card game, Magic the Gathering, Pokemon cards, you would play a game in which you might lose some to opponents and stuff. It reminds me a little of marbles.
Sure. And Dad played marbles, and he played it in a way where that was the way you traded them. You didn't...
Yes.
Well, you could trade them the other way, but a big popular way to trade marbles was to... lose them in
yes
a game.
Yes. And I mean, I played a lot of those card games, and frequently we would be like, okay, we're not actually trading, because like in Magic it's built into the game that the first thing you do is you draw a card at random, and that's the card you're betting, essentially. And we would frequently say we're going to do that because that's part of the game, that card's out of play, but we're not actually betting them.
I didn't know Magic the Gathering you could actually lose cards.
Yeah.
Pokemon I knew you could.
Yes.
But
yeah, so Pog is very similar, but they weren't milk carton tops. They were tops of juice in Hawaii, specifically Pog, also known as Paso Guava, also known as Passion Fruit Orange Guava Juice.
Oh.
Of which there have been a few different kinds, but that is a popular, I should probably put quotes around juice in Hawaii, because it's very artificial, whatever, but it's, there's a lot of different versions, and it's super tasty. And I grew up with the juice.
You did?
Yes, because I grew up, you know, I'd spend summers in Hawaii, and we'd get it, we loved it. Mm. And we always called it Paso Guava, because the brand we got, that's how it's Pass-O-Guava, for the passion orange guava. But other versions, Pog, and other versions came in these big cartons that had these caps on them. And they figured out that these caps worked for a game. And then other people figured out that kids wanted these and then sold various cool ones.
Without the juice.
Yes. Or even the carton. Or any rights being paid to anybody there
sure.
or anything. Like, it very economically speaking, it did not benefit Hawaii very much at all. But I have friends who just went to Hawaii for a week.
Okay.
And they brought me back a present in the form of a drink mix of Paso Guava.
Oh.
It was a powder that then you mix with water, turns into Paso Guava. Is good.
Is it?
I like it. It's tasty. I miss that. It is also, as I said before, very little juice. And even juice, a lot of sugar. But this is mostly just sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Cane sugar, of course, but still. So, for a diabetic, this is a bad thing.
Oh.
So I've been rationing. I made it all at once, because I only made like a quart.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've been rationing little cups of it periodically. But then I'm like, I don't know how long it'll keep. necessarily.
I don't know.
So, I'm now at the point where this is the last bit, which I'm drinking tonight. And it's very tasty. And I don't know, I didn't have another interesting opening story, so this is what I talked about.
Okay.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. The only podcast with an opening about pogs, mostly just to talk about the juice. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 395.
395.
Yep.
Plus tax. Sorry, somebody's doing... I think somebody's trying to get a stump out of their yard. I don't know. Somebody was digging around in a seemingly random part of their lawn, but now they appear to be going in there with a chainsaw into that random part of their lawn. So I assume there's tree roots or something. I don't know. Is this still... Is this... Are you... Okay, good. Okay. The thing suddenly was looking sad. And I was confused. I've been hearing lately that we've been doing better with the sound. So
that's what I've been
hearing.
That's
good.
Yep.
Well, there's a lot involved, so we damn well better be. Sorry, I'm very tired today. I don't know. I did something. I think I did something weird at the gym because I had some pain issues before. But then I had massage therapy, and it was really rough. And so, like, my whole body is, like, really hurting, and I'm exhausted. Hopefully, this will result in tomorrow I'll feel better. But we'll have to see. For those of you just joining us, sorry, here's how the show works. We have a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. And folks like yourselves, cool people, fun people, juice drinking people, I don't know, send things to that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, comments, topics, questions, things like that that manifest physically within the hat itself. Topics, questions, things like that. The hat magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards that manifest physically within the hat itself. Draw those note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour. That's pretty much the whole show, except the parts that aren't, which is most of it. Today, one thing that several people use me for, but my boss is one of them, is word choice. So my boss has a thing, and she used the word strong, and she's like, I don't feel like that's a good adjective. I'm thinking about critical instead, because it's just very, like, important or whatever. Garbage motorcycle is going by outside. I don't really understand. Like a garbage truck, but a motorbike. It's weird. Anyway, it's gone now. So she's asking for word choices, and I think we eventually settled on essential. But I was joking around. I'm like, you need awesome or rad or something like that. And then I was like, or dope. Yeah, say dope. And she's like, whatever. I said, no. I really like dope. I've been really trying to get it more into dope. Mm-hmm. And then there was a pause, and I'm like, I immediately regret that sentence. Because I have been, the word, I don't know why, recently it's come up more, and I'm like, I like that, I want to use dope. But again, see, it's hard to talk about that word.
It is.
Without sounding like, I really am hoping to do more drugs, which is not a thing.
No.
That I'm hoping to do more of drugs. No. So how was your week?
It's good. Finished Tomb Raider, playing it through another time for trophies. Looking forward to Red Dead in 3 weeks.
Yep.
Let's see. We finished that show Maniac that has...
Oh, yeah.
Emma Stone and Jonah Hill in it. It was all right. I thought everybody in it was really, 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 really good, except Jonah Hill. I didn't think he was very
interesting.
Good. I didn't think he was very good at all. I don't know what he was trying to do. Maybe I just didn't get it, but it didn't work for me. But everyone else was awesome.
Jonah Hill's had a weird time because he's definitely transitioning out of his comedy stuff a little bit. And some people think he's doing really well at it, and some people do not.
Yeah, I didn't think his performance was good at all. He's an executive producer on the show. So that's one of those deals where it's like you probably just should have cast somebody else, buddy. Just help executive produce and let someone else actually play this. Because the whole time it felt like this is supposed to be somebody else. Somebody else should have been cast in this role because it's not working.
Yeah, but the only way they were going to sell it was as a reunion of people from Superbad. So it had to be him and Emma Stone.
Okay, well, anyhow. It was all right. This isn't giving anything away because it comes up in the very first episode, but it's set kind of in an alternate reality. And usually when you do that, there's a narrative, you know, reason.
Yeah,
might not start out that way. I mean, like, sometimes I think that Fallout started with an aesthetic and then they built the alternate reality to fit it. But there's still a narrative. It's like, well, you know, after 1969, the scientists took over and some of them became mad scientists, et cetera, et cetera. So even if the alternate reality thing came after the aesthetic, there's still a narrative, some justification.
You still want to reconcile it in some form.
So at no point in the entire run of this, I don't know if this is just the first season or what, it seemed to end in a pretty decisive way. But
as with most things nowadays, it will probably depend on how popular it is.
Right. But there was no narrative reason for this to be set in an alternate reality, except, as far as I can tell, there was a particular aesthetic they were going for.
Yeah.
Which was interesting, don't get me wrong, but it's kind of like, you know how in Legion, all of the lab stuff...
No, I was immediately thinking of Legion when you were saying this.
Yeah, all of the lab stuff was like... Was Legion set like in the 70s or something?
Well, here's the thing.
Well, how did that work?
We don't know. It looks very much like it was set in the 70s.
Or 80s.
It acts very much... No, 60s or 70s.
Okay.
Very much in that thing. But the only two things I've seen that I can link in time is A, and I've talked about this before, one of the characters turns out to be a man married to another man, both of them white, having adopted a black child. And I'm like... That didn't happen.
No, couldn't have. Not the married part,
then.
Anyway. Yeah. Or the adoption part, I guess.
Or at least would have been strange and you're like, whatever. And then the other thing that really hit me is there's a point where somebody who has been asleep for a long time is talking to someone else that they know about some time they spent in Bombay. And the other person says, it's called Mumbai now. And I looked that up, and that happened in 1995. Recently... Very weird that you brought this up, because very recently I was looking into this shit, like on Wikipedia and stuff, and they seem to just think it's an alternate world. And that ties into the fact that they also very specifically have claimed this is a parallel world to the X-Men movies, because it's all sort of part of the same continuity, but this is a different one. So you never really know, but it's the same sort of thing. There was no need to do that. They sort of just did it for the aesthetic.
Well, usually the giveaway is someone's using a cell phone or a mobile device.
That's
the thing that really messes it up. Because and it's not even an old-looking one. It's like a new-looking one. Gotham tried to look...
That's frequently how I judge it. Except the weird thing is, long after smartphones came out, a lot of movies, especially the lower budget and the indie ones, were still using flip phones in their movies. And I don't... fully understand that. I mean, maybe it was just a budgetary consideration, but I've always found I've seen movies set in present day that were done in like 2012 and they're using flip phones, and I'm like, why are you doing that?
Yeah, that's true. I've seen that too. But Gotham seemed to try to do this mix of 70s and 80s aesthetic, and then I think eventually what happened was people were writing scripts that included phones.
Like, oh,
cell phones, like, well, let's just have them then. And so then they have them, and it doesn't match up with, they're typing on regular typewriters and things. It's like, why are you mixing this
up?
And
there are times where you very deliberately make it vague. Archer also very deliberately makes no sense as a timeline. A lot of things look very 60s. We still have Soviets. We still have the USSR. We're still in the Cold War. We have green screen computers and mainframe terminals, but then we have smartphones, and we have other like references to more current things. And they have very deliberately done it that way, so it's sort of out of time.
Well,
which I think you could argue was true for Legion too.
The show goes out of its way to present it itself as an alternate timeline. There are things they show that you go, oh, okay, well, that's not the way it is in our world.
Yeah.
An alternate timeline that starts pretty far back, by the way. The things they show, it's like, well, for that to be like that, this alternate timeline has to be in the 19th century or something.
But it can get tricky, because Bright had an alternate timeline that went back 2,000 years, and yet everything was exactly the same, except the black people were orcs.
Right.
Everything else exactly the same.
Weird.
Oh, and rich people were elves. Yeah. God, that movie.
So I found that kind of... I'd rather do it a little like Legion did, where, and Gotham for that matter, where they're going to have a mixed up aesthetic that doesn't make any sense, but they're not going to try to explain it in any way. They're not going to tell you it's an alternate timeline, because, you know, if that's the aesthetic you want, the aesthetic that Maniac used, I kind of liked. I could have watched it and not even thought to myself. I mean, I would have, when I saw like computer screens of a certain era or whatever, I would have thought, so is this supposed to be set?
Yeah.
But that would have completely passed. But I knew it was supposed to be an alternate timeline. And so I was like, why, how, what's the point?
I can think of a reason.
So I was thinking about it the whole time.
Because when you do get vague, it can sometimes disrupt your watching of something. Because depending on when something is set, that might affect how things would proceed. I mean, the really dumbed down example is if it's past a certain period, people would have cell phones. And so if you're seeing things and they're not using cell phones, you're like, okay, am I supposed to believe this was before cell phones, or these people are just really dumb?
Well, but this is what I'm saying. Watching Legion, even though there were things that time-wise didn't make sense, I didn't spend very much time thinking
about
it.
No, I think that was the nature of the thing. Because Legion was also one of those where a huge part of it is how much of this is even really happening.
Yeah, right. That's true.
And so in that case, I think it was to its credit. And I think Archer a little bit similar, like when they're deliberately trying to do that. But if you're in a situation where you want an aesthetic that lends itself to that, but you're worried it could be disruptive or distracting...
Yeah.
That could be a reason. I have not seen the show. I don't know that that's anything involved. I'm just saying that's a possibility.
Well, but also introduced early is one of the characters has a mental illness that could suggest that some of the things you're seeing might not. But then like two or three episodes into it, they do something that kind of tells you that's not a thing. I mean, it is a thing for him. But you as
it's
the,
not going to be incorporated into the show anymore.
You as the viewer don't really have to second guess what he's experiencing anymore. It's like, well, that was a cool little thing you guys had going, and you just shut it right down.
99 times out of 100, when TV or movies do mental illness, I'm like, fuck you.
Well, that's true.
They're not doing it good, and they're doing it for some dumb reason, and they're doing it inaccurately.
No, you're right. And this was kind of one of those things. But it didn't make the show as a whole suffer too much. I mean... that part of it. The thing that hurt the show overall for me was I just didn't think Jonah Hill did a very good job. But otherwise, I thought Emma was great. Everybody else in it was fantastic. Some of the script was really good. I liked the aesthetic, even though I thought they should have maybe tried less to explain it and just let it be what it was. I mean, I suppose... it's on Netflix streaming if you want to watch it. You might like it. Maybe you'll think Jonah Hill's performance was great. I don't know.
I'm thinking I need another show right now. I just got a suggestion today on something I had never heard of that I might be checking out. So check back for that.
But what about your week?
Not a lot. I've done some more writing. I haven't done a ton more writing. But I'm getting past the opening chapters are hard. Because very little of interest is happening, and there's a lot of just premise setting, and there's not a lot of detail to add, because it's all boring, like, in a way that it doesn't. I added some, but there's not, like, it's fantasy stuff, so later the weird things, and the strange things, and the active things, these are things you need to describe in detail, but if we're like, it's a car, it's a car, like, you can say a little, oh, it's a nice car, it's a good interior, like, but there's not, you don't have a page on the car.
Well, but
unless it's a weird car.
And also, you're speaking through her voice. So
yes.
Would she comment on the car?
That, I mean, yeah, and there's very much that. and I'm doing a lot more asides now. I'm doing a lot more of things I've done before, but it's like, you know, like this kind of situation, it was like that. Doing more of that. Because I recently did the chapter with the little girl and the stabbing and the blood. Mm. And that I could bring more into. And that was also one of the first chapters that had some major literal inconsistencies where people pointed out, like, you literally changed time of day in this scene by saying this and saying this. And I'm like, oh, crap, that is true. Things like that. And other things where they're like, okay, any rational human would have reacted this way, and your character did not. And I'm like, that's also a good point. I should probably change that.
You know what can be fun with characters, and I imagine you can make this especially fun, is digressions.
That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. Like, in the moment. Even, and again, and that's something I steal from Jim Butcher, too. Jim Butcher likes to do this. So, the knife was coming at me when I was six, blah, blah, blah. And, yeah, and then you eventually really are like, I say this because, as this knife, you know, that I'm playing around with that a little bit. Not usually huge ones, but a paragraph or two.
Douglas Adams is really good
at
that.
Oh, yeah. That pretty much is.
Almost an Inception-wise, because they
Yeah, you're like, I'm not sure what's digressing
and then
what.
It would come back out.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Just beautifully done. But see, your character is really suited to that, I think.
Yes.
I mean,
to
not,
a degree.
Not just asides, but full-blown digressions.
Yeah. But this book has definite humor to it in places, but I still think of this as somewhat dramatic.
Sure.
Other things later I intend to be comedic on a Terry Pratchett kind of scale, and then I can fuck around all I want.
Sure,
you know?
Right.
But we'll see. But yeah, so progress is going with that. Saw a couple of weird movies. Felt bad. I saw a movie. Well, okay. I saw a movie called Witches, The Darkest Evil. This movie had no witches in it, for the record.
Oh, okay.
At all.
It seems like you saw another movie recently called Witches Something, some subtitle.
Well, does this have Dean Stockwell in it?
I don't know.
Yeah, because here's the thing. This is a modern retelling and slightly repositioned version of Dunwich Horror, the H.P. Lovecraft story.
Oh, okay.
And it has Dean Stockwell in it. And you may be thinking, you probably aren't, but people who are listening may be thinking, oh yeah, that's a classic from 1970, and he plays Wilbur Whately, and yeah. No, this is not that.
Okay.
This is a thing that cost like $5 and was made in 2009.
Oh, for $5. That's...
And Dean Stockwell is in it.
$5.75 in today's money.
Yeah. And he's not like just a cameo, like it was somebody, his son-in-law or something. He's, like, got the third most screen time of anybody in this movie.
Okay.
I don't know why. It's terrible. Bad CGI lasers shoot out of his fingertips twice.
Wow.
It's the worst.
Well, that blows the whole budget right there.
It's terrible. And I couldn't figure it out. And I was like... Is he... Because I think of him as a... I mean, people are like, what the fuck is Dean Stockwell? Well, first of all, Dean Stockwell's been around forever. He was a child actor in the 40s. But also, he's done big stuff. He was in Dune. A lot of big names were in Dune, and he was a big name at that point. You know, Quantum Leap went on for like 5 seasons on a mainstream network during primetime.
Mm.
That's a thing. He is an accomplished actor. Fucking Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah.
Huge. He was huge in that.
A big
Wonderful.
Part of it. Big part
he's
of
a
it.
Great actor, and he's a prolific actor. And I'm like, what is going on with this? Because there are actors who just love to work.
Yeah.
And you'll find him in dumb stuff. Christopher Walken is the epitome of this. But in a shitty movie like this, he shows up for like one scene, or he does like the narrating. He's not like one of the leads. So it's like, what the hell? So then I'm talking with my friends about this. And so we just look it up. Something happened. And everybody decided, fuck Dean Stockwell.
What?
He's been working. Well, actually, a couple years ago, he had a stroke, and he's now officially retired. But his last decade or two of work, basically everything post Battlestar Galactica, is the most indie, low-budget, crappy, dumb shit ever. He worked quite a bit, but it was all bad. Like, if you look at Walken, it's like up and down, and like, oh, here's a big movie. Out here. No, it was just nothing, so I don't know what happened.
Wow.
But apparently Hollywood decided, fuck Dean Stockwell, which is too bad. He did a remark. Like Idris Elba's big speech in Pacific Rim, he acted perhaps better than was necessary for this film, and perhaps in many ways made the rest of the film look worse by comparison. So yeah, don't see it. It's on Netflix. Don't see it. But yeah, I saw that. Meanwhile, different movie I want to talk about from last year, or maybe even this year. No, I think it was last year. Logan Lucky.
Heard about it. I wasn't actually really in seeing it.
It was kind of quiet. It was not
Daniel
a lot
Craig,
of marketing.
Right?
Bunch of people.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, Steven Soderbergh.
Yeah.
Made it. Daniel Craig, Adam Driver, Channing Tatum, Katie Holmes, Hilary Swank, actually, in a fairly small role, but she's in it. Seth MacFarlane in a role that was slightly too big. The dude who played Roy on The American Office, for some reason. Also with a beard, exactly like he had on The American Office. So that's strange. Anyway, and it's a hillbilly heist movie.
That's what I understood, yeah.
And that's, like, Daniel Craig plays a hick named Joe Bang. It's very weird for that.
Okay.
I recommend this movie.
Okay.
Not strongly, but I recommend it. It's fun. It's a comedy. It's definitely a comedy. Here's the thing. I can't not think of a Coen Brothers movie when I watch it.
Yeah.
But it's not a Coen Brothers movie in that you don't feel bad. Like, if somebody really too happy and well-adjusted for their own good liked Coen Brothers movies and then decided they were going to make a movie like that, that's what this was. Like, it's freaking PG-13.
Huh.
Like, it's not... There's nothing particularly traumatizing or anything in it at all. But just the quirky vibe and stuff feels like a Coen Brothers movie.
Hmm.
And it's fun. There's not a ton of laugh out loud stuff. There is some. But a lot of it's just fun. There's a brilliant... Oh, Dwight Yoakam's fucking in it. There's a brilliant, like, 3 or 4 minute scene involving the warden of a prison negotiating over the loudspeaker with prisoners who have just, like, rioted and taken over part of the prison about their demands. And in particular, he's saying, I can get you A Dance with Dragons by George R.R. Martin, and we'll put it in the prison library, and they all cheer. He's like, but I'm going to have trouble getting The Winds of Winter and A Feeling of or whatever of Spring, A Hint of Spring, or whatever, as those have not yet been published. And the guy goes up to the loudspeaker, this really hard, criminal-looking guy, and he's like, that's some bullshit. Winds of Winter was supposed to be published over 2 years ago. And the warden's just like, I'm just reading what Wikipedia says. And they get into this thing, but so-and-so just got sent down here a few weeks ago, and he's telling us all this shit that's happened with the bitch with the dragons. And he's like, I'm pretty sure he's talking about the TV show. They've gone ahead, and at this point, they're all just like, no, screw you. He's like, I'm telling you, they deviated from the books. Yeah, it was this
pretty good.
Awesome scene for that. But, and I'm really starting to like Adam Driver.
Well, I do like Adam Driver. That's one reason I might see the film.
But here's a question
I like seeing
him
in other things besides
you.
Star Wars.
Adam Driver is quickly making a name for himself as a serious character actor.
Yeah.
He plays a lot of different roles.
Sure.
He never changes his hair.
Well.
How is that possible? Yeah. He almost never changes his facial hair. How do you get away with that as a character actor? Never having a haircut.
I don't know.
I was like, he always, even Kylo Ren, they have the same haircut. How did you talk? You have a good agent if you're like, one thing is he refuses to cut his hair for any part. This is a cancer patient. Too bad. We'll tell him it's a wig, but he's not cutting his hair. Like, fucking Nick Offerman has had more facial hairstyles than I can count in all his row. And clean shaven. And the fucking, in the Sam Elliott one I was talking about that one time, he has just, like, the, like, smash mouth chin beard and nothing else. It's hideous. All of this stuff. And I'm like, how does Adam Driver constantly just have his, you know, big Fabio hair, basically, and usually his goddamn Van Dyke to go with it? Like, I think once I saw him clean-shaven, but that was it. I don't know how he's getting away with it. But no, he's good. Channing Tatum's really good. I'm surprised.
Oh, yeah.
Daniel Craig is... Everybody's clearly having a blast doing it. And it's just fun. Like, it's not at all life-changing. It's not going to be on a list of anything ever. But it was a fun movie. And it's currently free if you're a Prime member, I think. Yes, I'm pretty sure. So, yeah, I would recommend it. It's pretty fun. Yeah. And I think that's pretty much it.
I would love the opportunity. You know, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou is supposed to be based on the Odyssey, loosely. I would love to make a movie that's like a Coen Brothers movie, but it's like an updated version of Treasure Island.
Mm-hmm.
And just so that when people watch it and they say, well, I think I'll read Treasure Island, they could be shocked at how similar it is. Even though it's set in the present day, I'm gonna keep everything, because it is, when I was reading that novel, I was like, this is so much like a Coen Brothers movie. It would make a great modern day retelling. I don't know who the, you know, I wouldn't feel like I have to have like Somali pirates or anything. Although that might be interesting, but just, you know, I mean, I can just picture it all in my head, how it would be just like, people would watch it and say, wow, this totally copies a Coen Brothers movie. And it's really a good Coen Brothers movie, but beat for beat, it's just right from the book. Yeah. I think that would be really fun.
It does explain that wood chipper scene in Treasure Island.
In Treasure Island? Well, you know, I never really made the connection before.
Yeah, no, I'm like, oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, that's right. That's where the Coen brothers got that. They must have been big with Robert Louis Stevenson fans.
With
when they were kids.
Steve Buscemi as Jim Hawkins.
Oh, man, that would be awesome.
I love when movies and TV shows do that, if they really do that.
Well,
the problem is there are a lot of things that, like, this is a retelling of The Count of Monte Cristo in that somebody got fucked over, went away and came back pretending to be someone else, and then got revenge on everybody.
Yeah, 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 right.
There's more to it than that. But, like, the only reason I ever considered watching Sons of Anarchy is apparently it's a pretty good Hamlet. And I was like, I'd be really intrigued to see that.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
but it wasn't enough to make me actually watch it, because I think that show would just make me mad
in
a lot of ways.
We tried to watch it and didn't like it. But
Trish watched it for quite a while. She didn't finish it.
But when you watch Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, you can pick up the stuff they're
pulling. Brother, Where Art Thou is my big Coen Brothers blind spot. I haven't seen it.
Well, and
Blood Simple, I think, also is a problem. Those, I have a couple of really big Coen Brothers holes, and I got a couple of really big Wes Anderson holes, all of which need to be fixed. I haven't seen Rushmore, and I haven't seen Royal Tenenbaums.
Wow.
Yeah.
Those are pretty good.
Right? And pretty, well, and pretty seminal to the director.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, and I haven't seen, weirdly, I have seen people do retellings of Blood Simple.
I'm not sure I've seen that.
Is it Blood Simple?
I don't.
Blood, yeah, but like I've seen, like, somebody did it as a 17th century Chinese fairy tale, but apparently it was the same plot to that. And I've seen that movie.
I don't even know if I've heard of that movie. Blood Simple? Who's in it?
I think it's one of the early ones.
Oh, early. Okay.
Yeah.
I could easily have missed some of the early ones.
I don't know. And the problem is, they're not all good. Sometimes the Coen brothers make movies I don't care for. So, or movies that I enjoy, but then I, like, never want to see again. And yeah, so we'll see. But These are holes I need to fill in my knowledge.
Well, I didn't think Fargo was going to have much rewatch value, the movie.
Yeah.
And when I watched it again, I was pretty much right for me. It was fine. But all of the stuff that was interesting and memorable and cool about it was kind of first viewing type things. Once you know,
well, that took me a long time to see it. I think I saw it right before the first season of the show came out, that I would like
get the references.
Know.
And
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which was weird because then you're like, "This is so much the show and so much not the show."
Right.
It's like alternate universe that movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And then like tied in, but then you're like, "No, that's still not really how this works."
But what was that one film called, Lady Killers, with Tom Hanks in it?
Was that them?
Yeah, that's a Coen Brothers movie.
Really?
I'm pretty sure.
I had no fucking interest in that.
It wasn't bad. I didn't
to be fair,
bad.
I think people part of it is it had one or two Wayanses in it, and I was like, yeah, fuck off.
I thought it was fine. I mean, and I was kind of fascinated by Tom Hanks' performance, but most people hated it, so.
Burn After Reading was them, right? If it wasn't, they need to sue somebody.
I think it was. I think I've seen that too.
That was one of those. I really enjoyed that one, and I don't know that I'd want to see it again. Hail Caesar was kind of a dud.
But I liked Ehrenreich in it, and now
it had some good performances and some good moments. But just in general, it was a little well. It was a little no. Actually, this is too cruel. But like Wes Anderson, Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou.
Haven't seen that.
Skip it for the rest of your life. The only thing we're seeing in that is there's a dude who does acoustic Portuguese covers of David Bowie songs, and that's pretty cool. But otherwise, that movie sucks. Moonrise Kingdom, on the other hand, or Grand Budapest Hotel. I don't think a lot of people agree, but that's my favorite. I like Grand Budapest
Hotel
a lot.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Again,
I mean,
not having seen Rushmore.
I'm not really a fan of him or his style, but it's almost like whenever he makes a movie, you kind of have to see it just to see what he did.
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly.
Because you're not going to hate it.
Usually. I hated Steve Zissou pretty bad.
Well, okay, that's probably. And I haven't seen that one, but it's at least going to be interesting. And the Grand Budapest Hotel was pretty interesting.
Yeah. And it just, the storytelling style hit me.
Yeah.
Something about that. Moonrise Kingdom had some of that effect too, but there's just like, I kind of don't even care what the story is. I just like the way you're telling it.
Sometimes, yeah, that's it.
So that was cool. Anyway, we should probably draw a thing.
So
I
had to realize that I like Ehrenreich's Han Solo better than I like
really
lots better. The thing, but I think I've admitted in the past that I was never much into Han Solo.
I think you have admitted
in the first place.
Yeah.
So it's like it wasn't really that hard for someone to come along and play that character.
See,
better.
I just have a hard time comparing them because I think it's a. I do not at all believe that is that guy grew up to be Han Solo. I don't believe they're the same character.
I can see that. I don't have that problem, but I can see someone having that problem.
I totally don't. I believe the character we tried to create with Han Solo is very... Well, I should rephrase. I could believe it if we had a bigger goddamn gap. Like, so many things are happening
right
up to it that I'm like... There's not a ton of time between the stuff we saw in that movie
that's right.
The next one.
That's
if
right.
we had more time, maybe.
That's right.
But
I agree with that for sure.
So I just don't buy it, so it's hard for me to compare the characters.
But you know what? Something else I was thinking of is I'm very used to different versions of the same character appealing to me. Like,
well, if you do comic books, then that does a lot of it.
And I love Luke Skywalker in the novels. But that never made me go back to the movies... And like Mark Hamill's version better. I mean, I still didn't like his version, and I still liked the book version, and I did not connect those two up at all.
But it's interesting you say that because one of the people I argued with about this whole young Solo becoming, they were tossing a lot of evidence from the expanded universe. And I'm like, maybe so. If I have to read books to make your movie work, it's not a good movie.
No, that's agreed. Totally agreed. And the thing is, I liked... Luke Skywalker in Last Jedi because he was more like the Luke Skywalker from the books.
Yeah.
So I don't blame anyone for not liking him, because like you just said, you shouldn't have to read books to think that the movie's good.
Yeah.
But I preferred that Luke Skywalker, and the one from the movies I never did like, and I didn't like him better because I liked the book one. They were just two different Luke Skywalkers.
And of course, as time goes on, you absolutely know, like, back in the day, it was fun to sort of blame Mark Hamill for it. But it's like, no. Mark Hamill's fucking amazing.
Yeah, he's a very good actor. It wasn't his fault.
And even back then, if you look at, like, his earlier voice work and stuff, he was good then.
Well, I saw him in other movies. He was in this movie called Slipstream or something, where he was a bad guy, and he was actually good.
And
he
was in The Giver and some other stuff, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't his fault at all. This was how he was directed, and he followed direction.
I did forget one other movie I have to talk about really fast. I don't have a lot to say about it, because here's the thing. First of all, it's Curse of the Puppet... Or no, sorry, it was Retro Puppet Master.
Retro Puppet
Master? Yes.
Okay.
There's a series of shitty direct-to-video horror movies called Puppet Master.
Okay.
This one is, like, the sixth movie, and it's like a flashback within a prequel. They've kind of fucked up their own timeline in it, but in the whole series, they've kind of fucked up their timeline. But it basically... The first movie involves a guy right around World War II committing suicide and leaving behind all these weird puppets. This movie is basically shortly before that happened. He sits around and tells his puppets a story of how everything began in the beginning. It's all about the ability to make inanimate objects alive, and he uses on puppets. And so the Retro Puppet Master is this whole movie about when he first got this power and how he got it and things like that. Two things notable about this. One, it was actually the riff tracks of Retro Puppet Master. And two, which makes it really good, is it was a younger, pre-The Room, Greg Sestero, a.k.a. Mark. Oh, hi, Mark. With the worst French accent ever. As the main character. As the guy. He's the flashback version of our hero. And so it was terrible, and it was also so full of, oh, hi, Puppet Master, jokes and things like that. And just the words. So that was really fun.
They shot a Puppet Master in Des Moines.
Did they really?
It's the Puppet Master with Donald Sutherland in it.
That's a different Puppet Master.
Oh, what? They're not all the same?
No, that the Puppet Masters.
Oh, okay.
And that's Heinlein. And they've done, like, three different versions of that.
Well, they shot one in Des Moines in the mid-90s.
These were done on a budget that couldn't afford Des Moines.
Craig wants to know, he writes this in a weird way to take into account if we read the card before a certain event or after a certain event.
Ooh.
Since we are after the event, I'm going to read it as if the whole thing is after. I'm not going to do the and or if that, whatever.
All right. So... William taking it upon himself to self-edit questions now. All right.
Well, it'd just be confusing if I did the blah, blah.
No, you police it for us. Okay. You take care of it so we don't have any inappropriate thoughts.
So... Yes, we wouldn't want that. Now,
no. Just confuse them. Don't bother them with extra information.
I'm going to have to concentrate because I have to get through a lot of
he's not very bright
weird punctuation and okay here we go.
Is this a foreigner thing? Is this because he's British?
I don't know. Did you watch the World Cup? If so, who did you support? Okay, I got it.
All right.
No.
Yeah, you're right. That is some weird shit there.
Nope, did not watch. So it did not support anybody.
Also, the hat wrote it in weird writing. So World Cup kind of looks like world open parentheses up question mark. Because there are other parentheses within it. So that's weird.
I don't know how Americans...
Well, first of all, is this your first episode, Craig? No, neither of us watched your game of sports ball.
Okay, but... I am curious. I mean, I'm a little curious as how if the United States isn't in it, which they could be, but they weren't this year. I don't know if they have ever made it to the World Cup, but anyway.
Well, the women's team has.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Women's team has fucking won.
I'm often curious as to how Americans would pick. Because when the World Cup's going on, especially since, as I've often pointed out, I deliberately get a lot of my news sources from not the United States.
Yeah.
Because the United States news sources suck. So when World Cup's going on, I get all this World Cup stuff. And what I'll notice...
And I watch Mock the Week, and so I get the World Cup stuff out of that. No, I'm serious. I get a lot out of that.
So,
because they're all obsessed.
For me personally...
Well, some of them.
And I'm sure this doesn't apply for anyone else. Or it might. I don't know. But for me personally, I notice countries that either my ancestors are from or my wife's ancestors are from.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll notice if Denmark is playing, because Denmark plays a big part in her background. And so I could see if it was Denmark versus Switzerland, say, which Denmark's big in her family history and Switzerland's big in mine, that we might actually get into watching it because it would be like her family versus my family or whatever. But
there
that's
was an
probably
ad
not typical.
Campaign based around this.
Oh, was there?
And the thing is, I don't know if it was just a World Cup one. I think it was actually an ad campaign for one of the goddamn DNA testing places.
Or for like 23andMe.
Yeah, that kind of
or
thing.
Or maybe Ancestry.com.
The whole idea was basically find out where you're from and then support that team
and
in the World Cup.
Support that team.
It's lots of things of like, this guy's Spain, but they're all Americans.
But we didn't need ads to do that.
Which I thought was...
But I imagine
I
some
know,
people
creep me out.
Pick teams based on something. I mean, because here's another thing. As I was growing up, I noticed that a lot of my friends who were into sports, sometimes intuitively, I would have thought they'd root for professional teams that were close by.
Sometimes, yes. Sometimes,
like
no.
When I lived in Melcher, Dallas, in that area, the closest city with professional sports teams was Kansas City. Mm. So intuitively, I thought, well, all these people will like Kansas City. But it wasn't too out of bounds for it to be St. Louis or Minnesota or even Chicago. But some people were rooting for L.A. teams or New York teams. I thought, well, that's really weird. I don't know why they're doing that.
Here's some things I've learned about this over the years. I'll explain to you. Here's a list all of common valid reasons why someone supports a particular team.
Okay.
First one, it's the city they live in.
Yeah.
Or it's the nearest one.
Sure,
they live
sure.
In.
That's an obvious
Second one. It's the city they were born in, or near they
sure,
were born
sure.
in. Third one, not making this up, they like that color scheme, or they like that mascot.
Yeah, I think that happens sometimes.
Fourth one, somebody they appreciate or admire or respect likes that team.
Like a family member. Yeah.
Family member is the most common.
Like their grandfather.
But also like
for the Yankees.
My friend who got me into football was always this kind of thing.
Yeah.
Fifth reason, they like a particular player, and they just sort of like whatever team that player is on.
Mm-hmm.
Sixth reason, they like winning, so they support a team that has like a really good record.
Yeah.
Seventh reason, they like rooting for the underdog, so they support a team that has a really shitty record. eighth reason, the first game of whatever they ever watched, that's who was playing, and they won, and somehow it affected
or
them.
The
or
first one they attended in person.
Yes, yes.
Yep.
All of these are valid, and as you can tell, all of these basically come down to random chance. You flipped a coin one time and looked at a logo, and you're like, that's my team. So there's just all sorts of
Well, and
reasons.
All of those reasons could make a person pick some international team.
Absolutely,
also.
Absolutely.
Like an American could pick... For any of those reasons, could pick an international team.
Well, that's
team.
The thing. And when it's a team outside of your... When it's a sport outside of your country, the first two are basically off the table.
Yeah, right.
Or most of the time.
Although, I would add to your list the whole ethnicity thing, because, again, if you could... If your last name is Mulligan or something,
and
you have a strong Catholic, Irish Catholic upbringing... And suddenly you decide you're going to get into international soccer.
Yeah.
Well, you might root for the Irish.
And you
I mean,
get a
you
variant
know,
on the somebody you know thing. Because also,
happen.
I've got a pen pal in Spain. So
yeah.
They
right.
like Spain.
Right.
And in some countries, it's a bigger thing. As I talked about with Stu at this at work a lot. When you look at Wikipedia articles on British, I may have talked about it here too, British celebrities, it is infinitely more common, regardless of what kind of celebrity it is, to be mentioned in their personal life section what football club they support.
Sure, yeah.
And in American ones, much less. Unless somebody, like, that's a big thing about them, it's not usually listed.
Yeah.
But no, we don't give a shit about your sports ball. Craig, what the hell were you thinking? Here's what I will say, though. Reality bent itself this time, and England got a lot further than anyone ever possibly could have thought they would have a hope of getting in their dreams. Like, that was insane. And so, and again, as an Anglophile, that sort of I was fascinated by that, and I did follow that. I wouldn't even have gone so far as to watch the final if they were in it. Even if, and I thought this would be amazing, it ended up as an England-France final.
I know, I probably would have watched that.
I still wouldn't have, but I would have eagerly and awaited results and or highlights, I think. I still couldn't actually bother to watch.
I think I might have watched it if it was England versus France.
The surprise rise of England was fascinating. But that was as much as I gave a damn.
I have to pause here to really consider. But no, I'm pretty sure I would have been rooting for England versus France. I wouldn't just be watching just because I didn't care who won. I just wanted to see what happened. I think I would have been rooting for England in that case.
Well, but and it's funny. And again, a lot of this I get on Mock the Week. But it's come up. So the team is England. The team is not the UK.
Right, because
it is England. Because you know the other countries have their own zones and things like that. And so, it's not the Union Jack that you do to show your support. It's the English flag,
which is white with the red
cross. Yeah.
St. George's cross is that what that is?
Yes. So here's the thing. That flag is seldom used for anything. And it is mostly used for two things. One, when the English team is in the World Cup. And two, when you're goddamn racist motherfucker wanting everybody to know that you think all the foreigners should go home. And so this was a constant thing. When they finally got kicked out, it's like, now we can go back to knowing that if we see an England flag in somebody's window, it just means they're racist.
Well, technically, it's in the Union Jack. The Union Jack is a combination,
yeah, it is a combination of
several
of all
flags.
Of them. Yes.
So technically, it is in there.
But like, and they also they made a wearable flag, is what they called it, of the English flag, and it had sleeves and stuff, and you could put it on. But what it really, really ended up looking like was a KKK robe. Complete with the pointy top.
No.
Yes.
Oh,
like,
gosh.
And in no way am I saying this was done on purpose. I'm saying it was done through incredible negligence, because it absolutely looked like that. Except, you know, if you were looking at it from the back, technically there would be two red stripes, basically.
Sure.
But it absolutely, because on Mock the Week they bought one and he put it on. And and in fact, Ramesh Ranganathan was on there and he's like, I really am conflicted about this because you look incredibly racist. You also kind of look adorable.
Oh my god!
Like, so I don't know how to feel about this. And he's like, "Yeah." So imagine like four guys coming out of the pub after it closes, walking down the street in these. You know, you're gonna be fine with that, right?
Mm.
They're just sports fans.
No. That's not right.
Oh, and it wasn't even called a wearable flag. It was called a wearing flag, which they're like, "Yeah, that's what this here's my wearing flag." All right, give it to me. We're going to have to be quick, but I think we can get another one.
Okay.
Wife's making me supper. So we're doing the one of the meal kit things, and the one we're doing now is Home Chef.
Okay.
I will skip all the reasons that we're into it. But one thing that's funny is a whole bunch of their dishes lately are some sort of Asian food in a bowl. And I should specify, the some sort of Asian food is various foods that are commonly not served in bowls.
Hmm.
So, like, banh mi in a bowl. Banh mi is a sandwich, a Vietnamese sandwich, but it's in a bowl. Tonight, I believe it's Thai spring rolls in a bowl. Mm. So just a ton of these. So this is just the thing now, is it's just deconstructed Asian food item in a bowl is just all of them. That being said, they're fucking tasty, so I'm fine with that. Beth says, what happened to the Magical Talking Hats craft dinner sponsorship? I'm learning a thing about Beth here. Beth just likes to look back in the history and say, you know that nice thing you had? How's it going now? Interesting you haven't talked about it. What's that about? Does your life suck now? Just curious. Yes. Canada sued us. And cost a lot of money, and we're not allowed to claim craft dinner sponsorship anymore. And we got no craft dinner out of the deal.
Nope. Not an elbow macaroni.
So, yeah, that was not pleasant all around.
So thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah. So you know what I love?
What's that?
Chicken and waffles.
I think you've said that before. That sounds familiar to me.
I didn't know. In my head, it's not hard to guess that I would love chicken and waffles.
Okay.
But for the longest time, I hadn't had chicken and waffles.
Okay.
But there's a place in town, it's a little bit of a Southern Creole diner place called Billy's Hi-Hat Diner, which apparently is a Grateful Dead reference. I don't know nothing about. But they had chicken and waffles. It's really good. I get it every time. But for the moment, Shakespeare's down the street here. They have this little center thing that's varying specials like each season or whatever. They got chicken and waffles in it. Mm. And it's really good. Mm. I like chicken and waffles. I also like Kraft dinner, but what am I going to do?
Can't do anything about it. Like you said, we got sued. Nope. I will probably get in trouble for mentioning it.
Yeah. So thanks, Beth. Got the Canadians on our back again.
And there's nothing worse than that.
Those hosers.
Blame Canada.
It's weird that I'm at a point in my life now where I can spot if television is Canadian.
Mm.
Like, especially if it's fantasy and sci-fi stuff. Well, first of all, statistically speaking, it probably is. But also, you can just spot things.
Yeah.
As little as, my boss's boss is from Canada. And she just slips certain linguistic things in periodically. Like, oh yeah, Canadian. She doesn't go so far as to say, a boot. But, she doesn't pronounce about quite correctly.
Correctly.
She doesn't say A, but there are times when you could tell she's thinking it at the end of a sentence. Like, that kind of thing.
I really want to say A.
How's it going? You guys can't see it, but there's, a visual that goes with that. And so
really holding it back.
And that's the thing, just every once in a while, the actor is all super American, and then they're like, what do you want about, you fucker, trying to sneak your way in here. And then, of course, there's Stargate Universe, where they go to the planet, and she's like, I love this alien planet. It reminds me so much of the Olympic Peninsula, where I grew up. And I literally yelled at the screen. That's because it is the Olympic Peninsula, you goddamn show. Is that supposed to be a joke? Am I funny to you?
That is kind of funny.
A little dig? It
Come
was,
on,
actually.
It's a little funny.
It is. By the way, Supernatural is still not a good show.
Sorry.
Although, sorry. I saw the Trisha Helfer one. That was fun.
Okay.
That was a good switcheroo of things. Different than normal.
Switcheroo.
That was nice. Still not a good show.
Okay.
I'm just over halfway through the 5-season arc. Or I guess maybe not. I need another season 2 because I'm just over halfway through season 2. So I guess
okay.
I'm longer. And I feel like I'm going to try and stick it out to then, but I'm like, I don't know if it's worth it. We'll see.
Okay.
Inertia is keeping me watching it at the moment, but it's not that great. And it's fridgy.
Oh yeah, sure.
It's pretty fridgy.
Yeah, that's true.
That
was one thing we really didn't like about
it. Somebody just recently was like, that was one of the reasons why they didn't watch it. And I was like, well, no. Yeah. And then the very next episode, I'm like, yeah. All right.
Yep, yep.
So we'll have to see. If you'd like to watch Supernatural, go ahead. I don't care. Whatever. Go to the blog and tell us how Canada has sued you. And also whether you are did watching of the World Cup support and
see what I mean. I couldn't read it like that.
Of Craig. And the dinner that Trish is making is starting to smell good, so get out of my house.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.